Anybody have any questions? Put that on there. No, that was just actually one that we made when we come back from each mission trip. Then everybody consolidates their pictures, and then they put a video together so that they can show the congregation, you know, to encourage other people to come. If you'd like one, I could probably get a copy of it and send it, you know, for your church library or something like that if you wanted, and people could check it out. Okay. So that little, when we were interviewing the student at the end, the committee actually has, there's a group of about 8 or 10 people, and each student comes and they have to present their grades, and then when they present their grades, they're given a contract to sign that says that they're, you know, going to live the Christian morals that they say that they have, and no immorality, no pregnancy, and you have to attend your class, you have to get a certain GPA, and there's, you know, they sign all these things and say, yes, we're going to do that, and, you know, agree to that, and then they're funded. And that young girl, unfortunately, right after we gave her her scholarship, she found out she was pregnant. So we ended up not being able to continue her scholarship after that, because you can't go to school and raise babies and that kind of stuff. So, and then the little cabina that we were sitting in at the time, that's where we lived. That is the compound. So when the whole group was shown at the end in that grassy area, that was kind of our backyard, and that was the original mission compound. We've since moved and built a house somewhere else. Yes. That little shed. Yeah. Yep. That was their kitchen. And so the one film where it says, watch your step in the kitchen, that was the family's house. And there are 6 kids, the parents and a grandson that live in that house. And Enoch is the one I was telling you about that came to the language school. And he's the one who's graduating in the university in another year and a half. And that's his home. They cook over wood heat if they can't afford a stove, and usually it's propane, but, you know, you got to buy the propane tank, and then you got, you know, to buy the stove and then continue buying gas and everything, so that's not always a priority or a privilege of anybody, so a lot of them still cook by open flame. And I don't remember if you remember in the kitchen you saw all the boards and stuff on the floor like that. Right to the right of that was a burn pit. That's where they cooked. And then there was a cayuco, it was a boat that was on an angle. That was their kitchen sink, and they just let it run out, the water run out when they're done. So nothing goes to waste. If it's thrown down and somebody, I save all my containers and my jars and anything that has a lid on it, because cockroaches are prolific, you know, so you want to be able to keep your, yeah, Eleanor's true, you know, you get to the point where you don't care, you're going to squish it, you know. I still haven't gotten to the point I'm going to squish it with my hands, but you're not filming this right now, are you? Oh, okay. I was going to tell a cockroach story, but it's really gross. You guys want to hear it? So we had just got moved into our new house, and Tom was getting the plumbing in, but there wasn't a drain in the bathroom, and they are drawn to the moisture, and as you all know. And there's these jungle cockroaches, and then there's these other kind, and I don't know what they call them, but anyway, this was a big one that had plastic wings. They're about this big. And 2 sets of them, and I had a C-cell battery, and this thing was like this much bigger than the C-cell battery, female, fully ready to birth her babies, and she comes flying into the house. She's in the bathroom. Tom goes, where's that Bagon? And he's running around trying to get it. He grabs the spray, and he's spraying her, and she is projectiling out babies as fast as he's spraying her, and it took hours after she was sprayed with Bagon to stop going like this. Ugh! Just the creepiest things in the world. And then we had, you know, she must have had probably 50 to 100 babies in there. And so there was just all these little babies. And she was just, you know, spitting them out as fast as it was like, oh.
You know, we have a lot of experience with cockroaches here in Texas.
Then you guys would fit in great with Panama.
Do you know about boric acid and sugar?
I've heard every concoction under the...
And just put them in little quarters all over your house. In a while, you just won't ever see them anymore.
Good to know. Good to know. Yes. You know, I am not afraid of blood and guts and gore and bugs or anything, but cockroaches just undo me. There's just something about them that's the creepiest thing, you know. And this thing, she's laying there, and she's doing this the whole time, and she looks prehistoric. I mean, they look like something from way back. When they're awful looking things. Yes.
You were talking about the baby that the burns on his
That was the bite from the mosquito, the Leishmaniasis, and that's what it does to the skin. And that was the baby I was telling you about, that when we went back to find them in the jungle, mom and baby had gone into Changanola to get help because you just don't cure it. It's just most difficult to cure. That was the back of his legs. He had them here on the abdomen, under his arms. That little thing was just bit up and just, it, you know, and I don't know whether it got one bite or three bites or just one bite and it spread through his body, but his flesh was just being eaten everywhere. It's really hard to look at. Yeah, I believe they cured it. Yeah, and like I said, I've heard that they had to do radiation, chemotherapy, different types of treatment and stuff like that. I mean, it's really hard to eradicate. So, mosquito bite. Mm-hmm. Leishmaniasis. Or leishmaniasis, I've heard it pronounced. Leishmaniasis, something like that. It's a, yeah, mosquito-borne. Or chytra. They're a little biting fly down there that they can bite other animals and bite you and be carriers of other things too. So, yes. Oh gosh, they range from microscopic clear up to great big things. You know, they're just in everything in between. A chytra is, if you look up chytra on the internet, it's one of the smallest biting flies, like a no-see-em. And they're just absolutely rampant down there. They live in the mangroves, and the mangroves support all of the islands, so they won't let them cut the trees down because they don't want the islands to erode, and the mangroves kind of keep that security of the, you know, the landscape intact. It's a big root system, and then they have the big palm, the trees above it, and that's where the chytras live. So in order to cope with those, you know, for us gringos, we go down there and we have a lot of lightweight clothing that's long sleeve and long pants, and I wear a bandana around my neck and usually put a hat on and put coconut oil everywhere that it's exposed. And during the time when about 4 to 7 o'clock in the evening, when they're out just like a frenzy, and then first thing in the morning. And then if it's the middle of the day and it had been raining and the sun stops, or it starts and it dries up, boom, they're just all over the place. So my first year down there, my skin erupted so bad, like mosquito bites and everything, that I thought I was a deal breaker for me because I just looked infected. It was awful. But I have acclimated. Now when they bite me, I get a little red mark and no incident. So that's nice. That was a praise. That was an answer to prayer because I just couldn't do it. So, yes. Where are they offered? When we go down there, so what Nine Mile Falls Community Church has continued to do is send mission teams down, just like the one that I went on. So that was my first trip. We transitioned into living there. And so when the teams come down, the states, they have, do mission conferences and things like that. And some of them have come from the Rotary Clubs and stuff. It's just where we can raise money to support scholarship funds. So we have a certain amount of kids, and they get supported with the scholarship program as long as the money is still coming in. You know, I share with my Medicare clients, some of them are Christian, and I'll just, you know, they'll say, well, where were you at when I tried to call and everything? And I said, in Panama, and why are you there? I would support a kid. So, you know, I find people wanting to be able to give $30 a month that keeps one child in school that's in junior high or high school. Yeah, there's a college in David, and it's about 6 hour or 3 hour drive from where these local communities are, and that's where Enoch is. He's in the college in David. There's one in Changanola, and there might be some other ones, but there's just a couple of colleges. One of our students graduated last year. We had to go to her graduation from Panama City in Changanola, and she graduated in social services. And her family lives, you know, clear up in the mountains in a hut, and they've got, you know, 8 or 9 kids, and she got to go and graduate. That was really cool to see. But each of the communities have a school, and they have a high school. So what we call high school, they call colegio and college, and what we call college, they call university. So it's grammar school, colegio, university. And so wherever they happen to be or want to go, so they can go to Bocas, they can go to Almirante, Changanola, or David for schools. And most of them stay, you know, they'll stay through junior high in their community because it costs to go otherwise, and they just can't afford that, so.
And then they just live off the
Yeah, they do. You know, sweet potatoes and plantains and fruits and whatever grows naturally in the jungle is the biggest part of their support. Are you familiar with cacao? You know what cacao is? It's chocolate. Yeah. So chocolate grows everywhere down there. So they grow their chocolate. There's trees and they grow their chocolate and they pick it and they dry it and harvest it and grind it. And they make big balls like this of cacao and they make chocolate drinks and things like that. So they have chocolate. I think commercial Hershey's and places like that have come in and there's no longer a profit for them to be able to sell their own stuff. It's just small potatoes. You know, they can get some people to buy it, but it's been commercially taken over, just like Chiquita banana. In Almirantes, the Chiquita banana brings in great big, huge, you know, ships with all these containers with Chiquita on it, and you guys are eating their bananas. So, and they come and they, you know, they have banana places all over. They fish. They do grow pork, but like the people in Kimial, they don't eat them. They sell them. That's money for them. And the same thing with the chickens. You know, they have a bunch of chickens, and most of them, you know, they don't even eat a whole lot of eggs. And one of the things that we had a real struggle with getting to know the people in the culture is that they don't have refrigeration, which is part of the reason why they do this. There's no electricity, so there's no refrigeration, and they cook over open fire, so whatever you cook, you consume. And even if you're too full, you eat it because it doesn't. You don't want it to go to waste. And they don't prepare for tomorrow because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so they don't prepare when... The frustrating thing for me is you live in a natural greenhouse that you can plant year-round and you can have succinct crops going all the time and you don't take advantage of that, but you'll steal from somebody else or beg from somebody else. Just twist my brain. I can't, you know, I just have a hard time with that. So I just have to let it go. You know, if you're not willing to plant a pineapple every time, you know, the season's over, start another, and the season's never over. They just grow and they just keep growing because the climate is the same. You're right on the equator, you know, sun comes up at 6:30 and goes down at 6:30 and the temperature stays the same, the weather stays the same. You know, it's a tropical greenhouse. There's no reason why they can't grow and flourish on their own resources, but in the advent of grocery stores and convenient foods and different things like that, if they do get money, they'll spend it on a cell phone, they'll spend it on cookies, they'll buy frivolous things, you know, and it's frustrating. So there is a book that we got down there. I don't know if the man's a Christian, but the principle of the book is When Helping Hurts. And I've explained to some of you, when you come down there and we bring all these gifts and services and everything else like that, they're just standing there with handout without incentive because I'll just wait next year and the gringos will bring me something and, you know, I don't have to work so hard for that. And so there's a advantage, a disadvantage to those kinds of things. Giving of money is not always a good thing because they'll buy electronics, you know, even if they don't have a place to plug in. One of our ministry outreaches was plug-ins, you know, so they can come and charge their cell phone. And then they also have a, they don't respect your space, your privacy or anything. I'm here to plug in my cell phone. I'm just going to hang with you today. Well, what do you do with that? You know, I didn't know what to do with that. We're used to, you know, my private space and this and that and everything. And somebody doesn't just come to your house unannounced and then stay the whole day. They do. And they don't have any problem with that. And so for me, I thought, okay, I could really either buck up and really be frustrated about this or I can make the best out of it. And so when they would come over, moms and the kids and stuff like that, we just go to the kitchen and start cooking. Then I would say, how do you, como se dice eso? Como se dice eso? And I would just, how do you say this? How do you say that? What is this called? And so I learned English. I learned patience. I learned to share my space. I learned a lot more than I probably taught. And we built relationships that way. So we would make bread, and then I would send the loaf of bread home with the family, or we'd make cookies, or we'd do something. And they would, I would show them how to use the cacao to make goodies. I don't know if that was a good thing or not. We made chocolate brownies. We made chocolate pound cake. We did all these kinds of things, trying to find stuff that they could get locally and make with their cacao. It was really fun. And then I learned, you know, cuchilla and, you know, spoon and fork and all these different kinds of things. So it was mutually benefiting that way. And it's just been an ongoing learning curve. Like you said, we're not trained missionaries, but we know that God has sent us down there. And I think it's been more for our growth and our purposes than anything. So it's been a blessing. Definitely a cultural shock. Hi, Miss Eleanor? She's back. Okay. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to share your amazing grace and just the tender, loving care and the way that you have a plan and purpose for each of us, and it looks so different. And I just thank you, Father, that you never gave up, that you never left me where I was, but always challenged me to step out of my comfort zone and to move into the future. And I just thank you for that, Lord. And I just ask that you continue to draw our hearts towards the things of God, and that we'll be obedient and be brave and courageous as you ask us to step out. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, dear. That's all right. It's fine.
Okay, I was just going to maybe lift that microphone up just to talk.
Oh.
Oh, that's not good.
Kelly, you got this microphone all adjusted in wrongly for me. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you that you have revealed to us your heart and your plan for the world, and you have even told us that you want us to be the instruments to fulfill it. We thank you so much for that. Open our minds to be able to absorb all the ideas given this afternoon, and think of others in addition for how we can encourage these next generations under us to go and fulfill your great commission. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, this morning was kind of heavy, and then you had Kelly, very interesting and good, I'm sure. I wasn't here, but now will be fun, I hope, a fun look into all kinds of resources that are out there. To use to impart God's heart.
Sorry, it just will be audio recording.
All right. To your kids, grandkids, great grandkids, or if you're single like me, any kids. That is to impart God's heart for the world. So that, okay,
maybe Kelly's more successful.
Yeah, Kelly got it on right
on last time.
This morning. Yeah. Except this is.
We can bend this part too. So we'll bend this to be kind of away from you.
Oh, okay.
There we go. I think we're good now.
All right.
I'm sorry. Let me get it under your ear so it won't fall off again. There you are.
All right. Yeah, that feels better. Okay. So, in other words, how to pass on to your children, to the children in your lives, whoever they may be, the mission mindset we talked about this morning, the knowledge that the lost are lost. The conviction that we must tell them. We've just got to tell them. And we do it because we love God. That neighbor or that relative or that people group may just annoy us to death. But that doesn't mean that we should not take the gospel to them, because they are people who God made and loves and he wants them to hear the gospel. So it has nothing to do whether we like them or love them or not. It has everything to do with the fact that God loves them and his son died for them. And that's what your children need to know. So, know that people without Jesus are lost. They must be motivated by love for God and be bold. Take the risk. Tell them. Okay, now I'm going to show you various resources that are available out there online and in hard copy for training your children, informing them about what God is doing around the world. And I think one of the best ways are missionary biographies. This list came from a website that I did not jot down, but I just love these ideas. We teach them missionary or expose them to missionary biographies because they expose kids to God's kingdom expansion worldwide. Oh, I know what's missing. I have brochures made up to hand out to Earth.
Oh, they're in our packets that have the schedule on the front.
Oh, they're in that packet. Okay, yeah, good. I'm glad you got them. All right. They were supposed to kind of fold, but that's all right. You got them. Okay, missionary biographies, because they expose kids to God's kingdom expansion worldwide. They show kids how gospel passion moves people out of comfort zones. You heard that from Kelly today. They show kids how God works through weakness. Once again, kid says, oh, I could never do that. Yes. Yes, you could. Can. They show kids the amazing ways God answers prayer, and they challenge us as parents or teachers or whatever position you have. So, you can obtain missionary biographies from this website, which is on your brochure, it is. Okay, I should have one of those. Do you have an extra one somewhere? So I can make sure.
This and then
that. Yeah. All right. Good. All right. We've got it here now. Yeah. That website there. The missionarybiographies.com. It has, this is a screenshot of the main page of that, and it lists Amy Carmichael, William W. Borden. I'm going to have to read that. I don't know about him. David Brainerd, it's at the Cambridge Seven, who started a mission movement. William Carey, et cetera, and just goes down the list, just scads of them. So you can get those online. And then other websites, which include missionary, then we got the missionarybiographies.com. You can get them from books. The prayerfoundation.org books. They have several that are available. What I would suggest is that you look on some of these websites that are in this brochure and see if you can get used ones on Amazon. Often you can, because some of these are out of print, but they're really good stuff. And so, but you can obtain them often by looking at used books on Amazon. And a shameless plug here. Subscribe to Great Commission Kids. Free. That's a publication that I do in conjunction with World Team. And it comes out just four times a year. And it once a year, it's a biography, missionary hero biography. The other three times I cover an area of the world or a specific type of missionary job or that kind of thing. And it's free, thanks to some various generous people in God's family. In fact, the gal who mails them out does it at her own cost. And my church pays for the printing and people giving to that account. So that's a free one. That's a freebie. Who doesn't want a freebie? And if you do subscribe for your kids, put their names on there. And if there's two kids, put both their names. And because we enclose, if there's two names, two children's names, we enclose two in the envelope. So each kid has their own. And kids love to get mail of their own. Even still, with email and stuff, they still love to see physical mail of their own. All right, and then you can find missionary biographies in bookstores and online or otherwise. And look at the resource table out there. On the right-hand side are all kinds of books that you can use. Unfortunately, those are to just look at and jot down notes about. The GC Kids, if you want some of those, take them. Those you can have. Okay. And then there are, some of the, back to the examples I brought for you to browse. Some of those are from YWAM. Some are from Bible Visuals International, who I have just recently become acquainted with. That's not a video, but they do illustrated biographies of missionaries, and they recently asked me if they could do an illustrated version of Bad Legs. And they're in these big, you know, books that you can use. They don't have the words written on the page for the classroom or group teaching versions, but they also have family versions that have the illustration on one side and a short condensation of that part of the story on the other side. So that's coming up. That's not yet. Isn't that something? Just, yeah. Okay, and then videos. There's vision videos. The Torchlight series on vision videos. The gal who is doing our Vacation Bible School, organizing that for this year for my church, just she has been, we've been emailing about what she might use for the missionary section of every day. And she has chosen to use some of the videos from the Torchlight series. Some of those, she says, kids need to know church history. And I said, yes, they do. And so she's going to use some of those biographies on there. And then there's the IMB, International Mission Board, Southern Baptist Mission Board. If you go to imb.org, they have, okay, let's see, where we are we? Try the next one. Oh, yeah, that's the GC Kids. Okay, sorry. There we are. Well, that's the Vision Video ones. Oh, yeah. Okay, let me back up. Sorry, this is a little discombobulated. But another great resource, which, yeah, is the... Brinkman Adventures, and that is audio only. So you can download it from their website, and what they do is each season they do 5 or 6 half-hour audio stories, and some Christian radio stations broadcast them. Many don't, because they require payment if they're going to broadcast them. And Vision Video is nonprofit, and they do not have deep pockets, and they can't pay for that. However, you can buy them from them as CDs and play them in the car when you're driving kids places, or play them for family devotional time in the evening, or however you want to do it. And they are dramatized stories. And they are absolutely professional in the way they put them together. Now, the stories are partly fictionalized. And once again, they did this last, this one that's out there has bad legs in 2 parts. And but they fictionalized it, so which they have to do because there are no visual clues to keep people... you know, separated to help the consumer to know who's who. So they rolled all my friends into one, and all the Kim Yells into Siut, and they had, and to show how hard I worked to get strength back after polio, they had me get up to walking 2 miles around a lake. Well, let me tell you, I never walked 2 miles alone. around the lake. But that got the point across. So, but the way they do these stories is absolutely fantastic. Really, really good. In fact, they are in Holland right now recording for next season. They direct it 8 to 13, I think, something like that. But you know what? Teens, moms and dads, everybody loves it. You love to hear a good story well told. And these stories are good stories well told. And I have just loved being associated with them. They've had me edit parts of their website, and they're developing a Sunday school, Vacation Bible School curriculum, and they've had me edit that too, which is fun. I just love, because I love working with people who are really careful and professional and strive to do things the very best they can, and they are one. So there's some series, a couple stories from series one available out there, and then some whole series five, I think it is, the last one that they did. All right. So back to the videos. If you go to christiancinema.com, that's on right down here on your brochure, christiancinema.com, and type missionary into the search box, you'll get missionary biographies in video there too. And some of them you can just stream. Some of them are available to buy. Okay, and we did the audio, the Brinkman Adventures. All right. So that's it, I think, for story time. Let's see. Yeah, see the samples I brought. Order online or find elsewhere. Okay. Study time resources, actual curriculum that teaches kids about missions. And there's lots of those as well. The first one on here, lessons on all aspects of missions at a child's level to buy. At from the wefamily.org. Is that what this is?
Weave.
Yes, it is. Weave resources. Really, really good stuff from what I've seen. I have, of course, not used all of this stuff to teach, but it's good. And then there's the next one on your list, Tots on Mission. Which various countries, setting, family life, religion, prayer needs. And then you can get, yeah, that's what this is. Well, that says, yeah, cmmpress.org. Anyway, okay, next one. Oh, there's Tots on Mission. Okay. And then the next one. Fun facts pages. These are, you can, I use those and parts of those things in my GC Kids. They're good stuff. They're from the Free Methodist World Missions. But, you know, the fun facts of a country are fun facts of a country. And they're really, really very good for pencil things for kids to do. They're just printable pages for many countries, so you can look on there. And then this one, it's also from Free Methodist, is, okay, I think the next, try the next, yeah, PowerPoint slides to go with their curriculum. And there's one PowerPoint in there especially that I looked at, PowerPoint on World Religions. It's very well done. It's excellent. So, and then there's, again, from them are printable activity pages. So if you want your kids to, you know, maybe in Sunday school or something, look on there and see if they have an activity page about the country that you're talking about or the type of ministry you're talking about. Okay. And then there's this. It has just one lesson on the Great Commission, but it's very helpful, from ministries to children, and it's the Great Commission Bible lesson. And it's just really, really good. By the way, I've learned that if you're searching the internet for things and you and you type in Christian missions, you'll get pictures of all sorts of Spanish buildings, mission buildings. So you have to be a little bit creative. Okay, next one. Yes, these are also excellent. They're 13 downloadable, reproducible lessons for ages 4 to 12. Another one, study time resources. This is ministrytochildren.com. So go there and browse the whole website. They have some good stuff. Now you can see why I gave you a brochure, because there's, yeah, no way that you could take notes on all this. All right, and this should be familiar to you. Kids of Courage VBS curriculum by Voice of the Martyrs. Their curriculum is excellent for a missions segment in Vacation Bible School. You could use just the countries part rather than the whole thing. Just be creative in what you choose. And then, ta-da, back to Great Commission Kids. How did that happen? Some families, I've discovered, use GC Kids issues for devotional time with the kids. So you can subscribe or download them from the website. Printing them off, downloading and printing them off, though you have to be a little creative because they don't, yeah, because of the way they come out. So just kind of put your head on when you're doing that. Okay. And then other ideas. 10 ways to help kids. Let's go back to that. 10 ways to love kids, to help kids love missions. This is an article from DesiringGod.org, the organization that John Piper is connected with. This is, you know, their ideas are really good. All right, and other ideas. This comes from gnpi.org. They are 5-minute cartoon-style videos featuring characters Liam and Ruby learning about missions. And these are just 5 minutes. So even with your smallest children and their videos, there's also a free download of the discussion guide that you can use with your kids. So, you know, I'm just really thrilled that people are starting to realize, people out there, that we need to teach missions to kids. So there's all kinds of old resources, new resources, even the old books the kids love. I know that my interest in missions was really sharpened when I was a child by reading little biographies that for children, one on the small woman, what was her name? You know. Yes, you know her name. So do I. My brain is tired. the one from the movie. Yeah, Gladys Aylward. Yes, Gladys Aylward, small woman. Read her biography and read about the Judsons of Burma. You know, those come from way back. But they're still so interesting. And kids love story. So old ones, new ones, use them all. And browse more that are out there on the table. And keep in mind that most of what I have out there are just single examples of a whole series of things, of books that you can get from those publishers. Okay, what's next here? Yeah, so that, or there you can see the samples. And the next one, is there another one? Yeah. Last point, be creative. Yeah. You might be able to put together your own stuff. Okay, short, but I hope complete enough to give you some places, a good number of places to start looking. And you know, to help you know that there are resources out there. You don't have to start from ground zero making your own. There are resources out there. All right, we can take a few questions and then probably just, yeah. All right. Good. You know it all. Yeah, what's my name? Yeah. Hmm?
You mentioned something this morning, and
it's about later. Oh, yeah, that has nothing to do with resources, but if you want to.
If it's later.
But, all right, we have time, if you want to hear that story. Yeah, yeah, it was how I got the word for mercy. Yeah, I was talking about how the Kimyal tribe did not have word for mercy, forgiveness, repentance, any of those, because revenge was the priority value of their culture. Well, maybe midway through my time there. And Dayun, the gal who was my first level language translation helper, I would go through with her verbally and try things. And then I would come to, if she was satisfied, I'd write it down and then go on to the next thing. Well, I was working on one of the epistles, and for 2 weeks I had been trying to get a good way to say mercy. And I tried to explain the concept to her. Just wasn't sinking in. And I just couldn't get a word. So I go on to something else and then go back, go on to something else, go back. Just kept trying and trying and trying. And then one morning she came into my office to start our session for the day. And she said, "Did you hear what happened last night and this morning?" I said, "No, I didn't." And she started to tell me. I knew that there had been some real tensions between the Selah half of the tribe, Selah Valley system, half of the tribe, and the Korpoon Valley system, half of the tribe. And in between is the second highest mountain on the whole island. And I traveled that trail once, not on my own feet, but it was so cool. It took us about 10 hours, but it was so neat to go between the two, and that's, you know, it's very, very rugged. But the Selah Valley system people spiritually were not to the point where the Korpoon Valley people were. They hadn't had the gospel as long, and they had just weren't as receptive to it. And there had been some incidents that had caused trouble, and the Selah people were using that as an excuse to try to incite a fight with the Korpoon side. Well, the day before, our elders and pastors heard that, you know, through the grapevine, that the Selah guys they had formed a war party, and they were going to come over the mountains in the night, and in the wee hours, ambush and fight, yeah? Start shooting arrows at our guys. And their bottom line message was, people who wear gourds are our friends. People who wear shorts are our food. That's quite a threat, isn't it? So our guys, our elders and pastors, devised a plan. They said, "All right, we will go up to Segetam, this village that was at the top when they would have to start, where was the only place was where they could start coming down into the valley. We'll go up to Segetam, and we will hide in the bushes on either side of the trail where they will have to come." And so they did that. They went up at night. They hid in the bushes. And early, early in the morning, Diane was telling me all this, early, early in the morning, when that war party came through, the Korpoon guys jumped out of the bushes and surrounded them with their bows drawn. And the Selah guys knew that meant it was curtains. Yeah, jigs up. And they started just shaking. And are you recording this? Well, certain things happen that are not. Yeah, okay, that are not, for public consumption. Anyway, that indicated that these guys were scared to death. Yeah, because they knew the jig was up. And you know what our guys did? After they had thoroughly scared them, they said, "In the name of Jesus, we relax the bow." And when Dayun said that, I said, "Dayun! That's it! That's it!" that's what I can use. What I've been trying to get, that was the term that I needed for mercy. Because those guys knew that they deserved it, that it was coming. But the bow was relaxed against them. Whoa! Isn't that neat? Fun. Fun.
Is that what you ended up using in the Bible, was mm-hmm. relax the bow?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they, yeah, it was perfectly understandable to them. Yeah. And what a wonderful picture. We deserve God's justice and judgment, but he has relaxed the bow against us. Isn't that cool? Yes. So cool. Yeah. And you know, people in other countries also need to hear that God has relaxed the bow. So, let's pray. Father, thank you that you have given us this wonderful privilege to pour into the minds and stimulate the hearts of these next generations to be serious about whatever part you want them to have in the Great Commission. Thank you that you want to partner with us in that. Something you could do just directly yourself if you wanted. But you've given us the privilege of partnering with you, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.
All right. Thank y'all both so much. I've been so inspired. I don't know about y'all, but wow. We have so much to ponder over. And I also want to thank Lillian and Deb and everybody that has pitched in, and Carol with her crafts, and just everyone that made this possible. I mean, we're all a family, and everyone is equally important, and we all have our own special story to tell of Christ. So I just thank y'all again for coming out here, and you have been a blessing to us. And I hope we've been a blessing to you guys, and we're on the winning team. So,
and may I add,
yes,
Kelly has been a fantastic helper. Just really.
Yes. Sunday. Oh.